Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know that for the Christian church, the cross of Christ is the central figure, and it's always the thing that we often are focused on. Paul himself writes that the message of the cross seems to be foolishness to the people of the world, but for the believers, those who believe, it is the wisdom of God. And so you can say that the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross is really a great turning point in the history of this world. For his death is a death that leads to the great deliverance of God's people, our deliverance from our bondage to sin and evil. And so as Christian believers today, we rejoice at that great work of our Savior. We rejoice that he was willing to offer his very own life in order that he might grant to us and earn for us our salvation. Well, when we reflect on that sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that this didn't just happen suddenly without any context, that all of a sudden here comes a man and he decides that he's going to give his life on the cross. But this very death of Christ was already foreshadowed long ago, long before this, in the history of God's people. And so here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, in the middle of the chapter, we're dealing with the work that Moses did for the people of Israel. And through Moses, God commanded that all the people of Israel should eat the Passover meal when they were in Egypt. This before he's going to deliver them from their slavery in Egypt. And of course, the most important part of the meal was the lamb that was to be slaughtered. And that death of the lamb would lead to the deliverance of the people of Israel out of Egypt. So that slaughter of the lamb was, you can say, the turning point there in Israel at which God is going to come and he's going to deliver his people out of slavery. And so that Passover lamb became an important figure throughout the history of Israel. It became a symbol that a greater lamb would come, one who would give his own life in order to deliver his people from their sins. And of course, from our New Testament perspective, we know that this was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, who came as the Lamb of God. He's the one who came and gave his life as a sacrifice to pay for all of our sins. And so that's why we can say that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus there on the cross is indeed the turning point in the history of the world. Why? Because it brings life to all those who believe in Christ, and it brings eternal destruction upon all those who reject him as the very Lamb of God who came to save the people of this world. And so our text this morning, it teaches us that it is by faith that we come to see the invisible God who has given to us that great sacrifice in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is by faith that we come then to also to trust the Lord God and to trust also the work of our Lord Jesus Christ for our life and for our salvation. And so this morning, we'll listen to God's word under this theme. Our theme then is, well, I've divided the theme up into three separate parts, but it all belongs together. By faith, we trust that the invisible God delivers us through the blood of the Lamb and preserves us from the attacks of the evil one. So our theme then this morning, by faith, we trust that the invisible God delivers us through the blood of the Lamb and preserves us from the attacks of the evil one. In the verses 23 through 26 that come immediately before our text, the author there writes something about the early life of Moses in Egypt. He tells us there that it was by faith that his parents saved Moses from death, that they were not afraid of the edict of King Pharaoh. Pharaoh had commanded that all the baby boys in Israel should be drowned in the Nile River. They weren't afraid of that edict because they saw that the Lord had a very special purpose for the life of their very own son. As clear as Moses also grows up, that somehow they had conveyed to Moses something about the fact that God had a special purpose for him. Remember that Moses himself was adopted into the household of Pharaoh. So he actually becomes a son of Pharaoh, the great leader in Israel. And that means he would enjoy all the privileges of being there, a son of Pharaoh there in that kingdom. He had it, you could say, he had it made. But yet the writer says in here that Moses rejected his place in Egypt. Why? Because he identified himself with his people Israel, those who were slaves. Why? Because he believed that God had appointed him to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And so the author here says in those verses that it is through faith that the Lord opened the eyes of his parents so that they trusted, they believed that that God would protect them from the power of their great enemies when they also saved their son Moses. They believed if God had a special purpose intended for Moses, then God would also protect them from the power of Pharaoh. Now the author wants to go on and reflect on the work of Moses as the mediator who was sent by God to deliver his people out of Egypt. And he begins by reflecting how Moses was able to act, indeed, as a great mediator for Israel. He tells us that Moses, in his life, he acted by faith. That means that he trusted the Lord God, that God would do what he had promised also through Moses. And so you notice what he writes in verse 27. He says in verse 27 that by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses left Egypt. There are two occasions, you can say, when he left Egypt. The first time when he fled to the wilderness of Midian after he killed the Egyptian who had beaten an Israeli man. And the second time, of course, when he left Egypt together with all the people of Israel. The text itself doesn't really clearly tell us about which occasion the author may have been thinking. And therefore, that also means that since the text doesn't clearly tell us about which event, that if you look at the commentaries, you look at the discussions, you realize that there is a lot of discussion about which event it might be about. Good arguments can be made for both, but in the end, it really doesn't change the message of the text. And so whether we look at this as Moses at the time that he went to the wilderness of Midian, or the time that he came and he confronted Pharaoh to let God's people Israel go, the point here is that in all of that, Moses persevered in his faith. That means he continued to trust the Lord. And therefore, the author says, Moses did not fear the king's anger. And why not? Why wouldn't he fear the great, mighty, powerful Pharaoh? And the reason is, he says, because he saw God who is invisible. Well, that seems to be rather strange, isn't it? If God is invisible, how can anyone see him? How can Moses see him? Remember in Deuteronomy 4, verse 12, Moses reminds the people of Israel back at Mount Sinai, he says, you saw no form when God came to you. You only heard his voice. And when Moses later on is going to ask God, God, show me your glory, he cannot see the full glory of God. God covers him with his hand while God's glory passes by. And he can just see, God just allows him to see his back. And so the point is that Moses was never able to see God with his own eyes, for God is invisible. What does it mean then? That he saw him who is invisible if he never actually saw him with his eyes. Well, in verse 1, we read that faith is the assurance of what we do not see. So remember that definition of faith at the beginning of the chapter. It means that it is only by faith that we can see that which is invisible. Paul talks about it in a little different way in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. There he writes this, he says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen. And so God may be invisible. We may not be able to see God with our eyes. But with the eyes of faith, we clearly see. What do we see? We see His invisible qualities. We see, as Paul says, His eternal power. We see His divine nature in the things that we can see around us in His creation. And so when you now, with your eyes, you behold God's creation, and you look at that with eyes of faith, then you stand amazed at God's greatness, at His great power, at His wisdom, at how He had created all things. And there's more. Jesus, in John chapter 5, verse 37, says to the Jews, there he speaks to them about His Father in heaven. He says, you know what? You've never heard His voice. You have not seen His form. In other words, He's invisible to you. Well, I came to reveal my Father to you. So we have today what Moses didn't even have, beloved, is we now know the Father, the one who is invisible, for we know Him because He revealed Himself through His own Son, Jesus Christ. And so we can say that it is by faith that we can see the power, we can see the majesty of the invisible God. It is by faith that we come to know the Father in heaven, and we know Him how? Through His own Son, Jesus Christ. And so it is by faith that we come to see the power and the might and the glory of our God. The author says that this is what gave Moses the strength. Gave him the strength, or you can say the courage, to persevere over against the king's, that is Pharaoh's, anger. Consider that for a moment. Who's Pharaoh? Well, Pharaoh, he is probably one of the greatest powers and leaders in the whole world in those days. Right? He is the mighty king of the earth. That means that everyone in the world stands in fear and trembling before him, and especially when he becomes angry, then you must be afraid of his power and his might. But Moses? Well, Moses stands before Pharaoh. Angry Pharaoh, and he demands, Pharaoh, let God's people Israel go. Pharaoh's angry with him. But yet Moses didn't give up and say, I'm afraid, I'm too scared of this great king. No, Moses persevered, we read. That means he kept going back to Pharaoh. Well, why would he go back to Pharaoh? Because by faith, he saw the one who is invisible. That means, beloved, that Pharaoh did not see the invisible God. The invisible God who stood behind Moses. And therefore he continued to threaten Moses. That Moses believed that the Lord God was greater and more powerful than this mighty king of Egypt. We know the author reminds us, also as New Testament believers, that as Moses persevered in his faith when he was confronted with the powers of this world, today, beloved, we can also persevere in our own faith. And you can persevere in your faith not because you are so strong or because you and I are better than other people or have boldness within ourselves. But we can be strong, we can be bold because we know, we see the invisible God. The God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. We see Him standing behind us. And because we see Him standing behind us, that means we never need to fear. And understand this. The world who opposes us, the world, the people of the world do not see the invisible God. And because they do not see the invisible God, therefore they are emboldened in their attacks against God's people. That means they cannot understand either how it is that Christian believers can stand firm and strong in their faith because they are not able to see the invisible God standing behind us and that He is our strength. But by faith, beloved, we see that our God indeed stands behind us, and we see that our God is more powerful than the greatest powers here on this earth. And by faith, we also know that the invisible God has delivered us through the blood of the Lamb. That's already been prefigured, you could say, in the life of Moses. That means the Lord God has already given us the evidence that the blood of the Lamb indeed has the ability to save us, as it did there way back in the days of Moses. And so you read in our text, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Remember how the Lord God had commanded to Moses, Moses, have all the people of Israel, have them eat the Passover meal. Do that on the night before I'm going to deliver my people Israel. And so Moses commanded each family in Israel, they were to choose a male lamb that was a year old, a lamb that had no defects, a lamb that was perfect. And so they were to slaughter that lamb, and they were to collect some of the blood, and they were to apply the blood to the sides and to the tops of the door frames of their houses. Now we need to keep in mind here that this was not just a nice religious ceremony, right? Just some nice symbol to remember maybe some past event, or maybe to express some hope that we might have for the future. But the slaughter of that lamb and the sprinkling of the blood on the doorframe of their houses would determine either life or death. The blood of the lamb would determine whether the people would be destroyed or whether they would be delivered from death. And it is only by faith, we read, that Moses kept the Passover and that he instructed the people to apply the blood there on their doorposts. And so it is only by faith that Moses was also able to see how important this Passover meal really was. It was only by faith that he understood that the blood of the lambs was going to protect the life of the people of Israel there in Egypt. For God had warned Moses that on that very night, he says, I will deliver my people Israel out of Egypt. But on that very night, I will also send my angel, the destroyer. And he will go through the whole land of Egypt, and he will kill the firstborn in the land. But, God says to Moses, the destroyer will not touch the firstborn from the people of Israel. Why not? Because the destroyer of death, or the destroyer would not touch the firstborn of Israel, because they are protected. Protected with what? Protected by the blood of the Lamb that was sprinkled on the door frames of their houses. That means, beloved, that the firstborn of all those in Israel, that is, all those who refused to obey God because they did not believe God, they did not believe His word, and therefore they refused to sprinkle that blood of the Lamb on the door frames of their houses, they would be killed together with all the children, all the firstborn of the Egyptians. See, God here is demanding that His own people Israel, that they act out of faith. By faith, they are to apply the blood there to the door frames of their homes, because it is the very blood of the Lamb that would save their firstborn. And so the question for Moses and for the people of Israel is whether they will believe God or not. And if they refuse to believe, they will be destroyed. But if they act by faith, they will experience a great deliverance out of Egypt. You see, beloved, the central issue in the gospel, whether we're dealing with the Old Testament or we're dealing with the New Testament, is that salvation only comes through faith. The question also for us, as it was for the people in the Old Testament, is, do you trust God as the God who will come and who will save you or not? Think here about the situation in Egypt. Right? There's nothing that the people of Israel could do in order to somehow save themselves. They were desperate. And as long as Pharaoh was in power, as long as Pharaoh refused to let them go, they were helpless. They have absolutely no power by which they could break free from his mighty power. There's only one way for the people of Israel to be saved, And that is through the mighty work of God. And so what is faith? Beloved, faith waits patiently for God to do what He promises. God promised Moses, and He promised the people of Israel, on the night of the Passover, I will deliver you from Egypt. God says, I will send my destroyer through the whole land to kill all the firstborn. And God says to the people of Israel, but I will protect your firstborn, and I will do that through the blood of the Lamb that you must apply to the doorposts of your homes. That was an act of faith in which the people believed God and they waited. They waited through the night. There was nothing they could do but wait till God would grant them His deliverance. And Moses and the people of Israel were not put to shame for their faith. No, his faith there in the invisible God proved to be justified, for God did just as He said He would do. He killed all the firstborn of Egypt. So that Pharaoh then, in desperation, he finally sends the people of Israel out of the land and he grants them freedom that the people have been praying for so long. And now after their deliverance, Israel was to keep the Passover every year so that they might remember the great deliverance that God had given to them in Egypt. Every year, the people would slaughter the Passover lamb. Not only would they remember how God had delivered them out of Egypt in a miraculous way, but they also are constantly being reminded, but we are still waiting for the great Lamb of God who will come and who will deliver us. And as they were waiting for that great Lamb to come, we read how John the Baptist, when he was baptized near the Jordan River, at a certain point, he saw the Lord Jesus coming towards him. And he stopped and he said to the people, look, and he pointed to the Lord Jesus there. And he said to the people, he said in John 1:29, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, beloved, what happened in Egypt was a great work of God. But what God was about to do through the life of Jesus is even greater. Jesus comes as the great Lamb who will offer His life on the cross and who will shed His blood to cover the sins of His people. Here it's good that we just stop for a moment and remember. Remember, beloved, that it is our sins that enslaves all of our lives to eternal death. Because of my sin, because of my rebellious attitude against the Lord God, I deserve the eternal punishment of the Lord. I deserve His everlasting judgment and condemnation in hell. So that as Israel stood helpless there before the power of Egypt to save themselves, so, beloved, we stand helpless and powerless before the wrath of God against our sins. And there's nothing. Nothing that you or I can do to save and to deliver ourselves from that very judgment of God. But by faith, we wait for God's deliverance. Finally, God sent His Son as the Lamb who pays for all my sins. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, he says, for you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you are redeemed from the empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Well, you remember the lambs that Israel were to offer at the Passover had to be without blemish. They had to be without any defects. Why? Because that was a sign that the great Lamb who's going to come would have to be without blemish, without any defect of sin or evil. And Peter says, then Jesus is the Lamb who gave His precious blood to redeem us, to save us from all of our sins. And the writer to the Hebrews earlier in this letter, in chapter 2, verse 14, reminds us that Jesus shared in our flesh and our blood. Why? So that by His death, He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. The lesson the author makes to the Christian believers to whom he's writing He says, is that we have every reason to hold on. You have every reason to hold on to your faith. And so, beloved, we also have every reason to hold on to our faith today. Why? Because long ago, Moses, by faith, he kept the Passover, and the Lord saved Israel. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Well, if God did that for them, how much more reason don't we have today to hold on to our faith? Because the Lamb of God has come. The Lamb of God has shed His blood on the cross to cover all of your sins. That means that you have every reason to continue to live by faith each day of your life, fully confident in the salvation that you hope for, fully assured of the salvation that you do not yet see. And if the Lord has delivered us through the Lamb, then you may also be sure of this. The Lord will then also preserve us from the attacks of the evil one. Find in the last part of our text. You see, the people of Israel, they had barely left Egypt. When Pharaoh changes his mind about letting Israel go, and he went after them, he chased after them with his great army. And the people of Israel, they saw Pharaoh and his army coming after them. And they looked back and they saw their great threat, and then they looked ahead, and there in front of them, there was the Red Sea. Immediately they understood, we have no way of being able to escape this threat. We're completely hemmed in. There's no way of escape. Pharaoh, the wicked enemy of Israel, was determined that he would bring them back to Egypt into slavery. You say, what a cruel situation to be in. They complained to Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt only to have our hopes and our dreams dashed in this awful way? Well, beloved, God is not a cruel God who raises the expectations of His people one moment only to have them dashed the next moment. No, the God who delivered Israel through the blood of the Lamb will not let His people be destroyed. But He will protect them also here from evil Pharaoh. And so verse 29 says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when Pharaoh tried to do so, they were drowned. Oh, the enemy, they appeared to have the upper hand. Pharaoh had a great army behind him. And every way of escape for the people of Israel was blocked off. They couldn't flee ahead. They couldn't go anywhere else. And we say, isn't that the way it often seems also today when we look at the world in which we're living? Right? The enemies of Christ seem to have the upper hand. Those who oppose the Lord God, who oppose the will of the Lord, seem to have the most power also within the political realm of this world. Isn't it as Christians that we often feel intimidated by the power of the enemy so that we may be afraid to stand up against those who oppose us? Afraid to speak the truth over against the lies of the evil one. You know, we can often act as the people of Israel who complained to Moses, why did you bring us here, Moses? It would have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt and we had served the Egyptians rather than to die here in the wilderness in this miserable way. Right, it seemed to them from their human perspective, it would have been safer, it would have been better if we had just stayed there in Egypt in slavery rather than to confront an angry Pharaoh here in the desert. And so we can be timid about our faith. We can be afraid to stand up against those who are promoting the agenda of hate and wickedness also in our culture today. Because, beloved, the truth is that we don't always trust. No, we don't always trust that the Lord will protect us from the power of the enemy. And so the enemy comes, and the enemy may shout at us. They may attempt to make our lives hard and to make it difficult. They may harass us. They may use the tribunals to fine us when we don't live up according to what they think is the proper way of living or the proper way of speaking. Or they may even send us into prison when we do not do their will or refuse to submit to their desires. The reality is that we live in a mean and we live in a cruel world, and the devil will use every power at his disposal to cause God's people to be hurt and to be destroyed. And so the question, beloved, is, so why then do we fear the opponents of the gospel so often? Why do we shrink back from proclaiming the good news also to those who may be hostile to the Lord? Why? After all, Christ is the Lamb of God who has shed his blood to cover our sins. And he is the one who has broken the power of death for us. If the Lamb of God is the victor, then we don't have any reason to fear. Then we can also act by faith as the people of Israel did there at the Red Sea, where they passed through the sea on dry land. For what does the Lord God show his people? What does he teach them there at the Red Sea? But he teaches them this, that as their God who delivered them out of Egypt through the blood of the lambs, he will continue to watch over them, and he will continue to deliver them from the power of their wicked enemy. Pharaoh and his army, oh, he may be very great. His presence may be intimidating, but oh, they cannot stand up to the very power of God. Right in faith, Moses encourages the people of Israel. In Exodus 14, verse 12, he says, do not be afraid, but stand firm, stand firm. He says, verse 14, he says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. See what he says? He says to the people, although your situation appears to be hopeless from this human perspective, remember the Lord God is on your side, the invisible one, and he will fight for you. You need only to be still. You see, beloved, there's nothing that we as God's people can do to save ourselves. Nothing Israel could do to save themselves from that situation. Right? They had no weapons to fight with. And they had no escape plan because every escape route was cut off. And Moses says, by faith, you only need to be still. Isn't that what it means, beloved, to live by faith? That in the midst of the troubles of life, as you're going through hardships, maybe personal struggles, or in the midst of attacks from the evil powers, that we then just learn to be still, meaning to put away our anxiety and just wait for the Lord. Because we don't save ourselves. But the Lord comes, and the Lord saves us. God, indeed, he came and he gave Israel the way of escape. Right? With a great wind, he caused a dry path to form across the Red Sea in a miraculous way that his people could walk across the sea. By faith, they passed through the sea and they were saved. Those Egyptians in the hardness of their heart, they didn't even recognize the power of God at work here. No, they went and they just plunged into the sea after the people of Israel. But the Lord caused the waters to return and he drowned Pharaoh and his whole army. By faith, beloved, we will persevere. And we will persevere. Why? Because we do not battle our enemies in our own strength. No, the Lord Jesus died as the Lamb for our sins. But he's also the one who rose from the dead. And he is the one who now rules over all things, also over our lives there from heaven. By faith, you may trust that your life is safe there in the hands of your Savior. Beloved, the one who has paid for your sins, the one who has bought you with his blood, is also the one who will preserve your life forevermore. You need only to be still. For he will fight for you, and he will deliver you. By faith, beloved, you may be confident in your salvation, and you may be assured of the glorious life that you do not yet see. For the Lord, he will give it to you by faith. Amen.